Back to the book of Esther, chapter number 5. Greetings to those of you that are just now joining us on our YouTube channel for worship. It is a joy and a blessing to have you sitting in those special reserved electronic pews with us. Also, special greetings to our neighbors in the community, our friends out of the area, and all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever you are. Isaiah 66, verse 23 says, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." This morning, I would draw your attention back to these words found in the 5th chapter of the historical book of Esther. Let's look at verses 6 through 8. "And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said." So they just got through with one banquet, and she's inviting them to another banquet the next day. Verse 4, you'll see the word banquet. Verse 5, verse 6, verse 8, and verse 12, you have the word banquet. And in fact, the book of Esther opens up in chapter 1 in a banquet. So I think banquet is a key word in chapter 5. Verse 9, it says, "Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart." The effect of, for the flesh, of banqueting, feasting is joy and gladness. "Eat, drink, and be merry," Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, is the philosophy of the lost that see no hope beyond death. Or we could use the mantra, wine, women, and song as well. And that's our subject today, the flesh. Haman is living it up from one banquet to another. Haman, the flesh. And then there's an even bigger banquet the next day to look forward to. And with obviously himself as the guest of honor. So he's on top of his game. All of his ducks are in a row. Happiness has finally been achieved. Nothing but blue skies, smooth sailing, yes sirree. We've seen in chapter 4, Esther rising to the challenge given her by Mordecai. And this after her reluctance and hesitation when she looked to herself and to her abilities. She makes a commitment to do what Mordecai had asked of her, to go to the king and intercede on behalf of her people. And so the chapter closed last time with a call by Esther for God's people in the city to fast and to pray and to do so for 3 days while the lives of God's people hang in the balance. Was Esther hesitating again, waiting 3 days? No, not this time. She's waiting on God by praying and fasting. I don't know about you, but if I had been Esther, and yeah, I know that's going to be a stretch, but use your imagination. Never mind, don't do that. If I had been Esther, I'd have been standing there the next morning doing the little St. Vitus dance. You know what that is. That's what guys do outside the bathroom door waiting for the wife to come out. I'll be right out. And then she said, are those tears in your eyes? You know what? So in other words, I'd be there just anxiously waiting to run up to the king. And as soon as the scepter was extended, I would have told the king the whole story, pointed out wicked Haman and what he had done, how he had deceived the king, and that my people were about to be destroyed, and we need to do something about it right now. But that wasn't God's plan. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So during this time of special prayer, we gain renewed strength from the Lord. We're taken up above our circumstances, and we see the situation from God's viewpoint. And then when it's time to run and move quickly, we'll have the energy. And when it's time to walk, we'll have the endurance and the stamina to do so. And then after chapter 40 comes chapter 41, verse 10, where the Lord says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. That's what Esther's doing. She's totally committed and resolved herself to the will of God. Now, when you do that, be prepared to not understand what's going on. Because he just doesn't do things the way we do. He said he didn't even think the way we do. So she doesn't immediately run into the king and demand him to do something. She fasts. Her entrance into the king is not in a bold confidence in self. In fact, it's just the opposite. She fasts. She doesn't go before the king depending upon her beauty and her charm. She fasts. She doesn't take 3 days to go to a spa, to a makeup artist, and to a makeover boutique. She fasts. She does not pace the floors in nervous anxiety. She fasts. She does not wait 3 weeks or 3 months or 3 years waiting for something to happen so that she would not have to do anything. She fasts. Now, having gained a renewed strength, a new perspective, energy, and patience, on the third day, she acts. Chapter 5 is a contrast between two people, Esther and Haman, spirit and flesh. And there's two things to see with Esther in verses 1 to 8, and two things to see with Haman in verses 9 to 14. So let's see, first of all, Esther's approach. Esther's approach in verses 1 to 3. Now, verse 1 sets the scene. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. Everything is intended to put people in awe. And even the architecture, everything points toward the throne and the one sitting on the throne. And you'll notice the word royal is used three times. Again, as Brother Gary says, no accident. So Esther lays aside the sackcloth and she puts on her queen's gown and regalia. She's literally standing in the place of death, in direct violations of the king's law that says no one is allowed entrance into the presence of the king on the throne except those who are specifically called to do so. So you sort of hold your breath with Esther. One of the chamberlains there at the door has probably raised his sword, waiting for the king's command of death. He's probably thinking, here we go again. The first one didn't come when the king called her, and this one comes when the king doesn't call her. Verse 2, and it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. I just wonder if God had anything to do with that. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. She receives grace and not the punishment of the law. Any of this sounding familiar in a New Testament sort of way? Esther went down into a position of death, saying in chapter 4, verse 16, if I perish, I perish. Then the king extends the golden scepter to her, and she is given life and favor. All on the third day. The Lord Jesus Christ, having gone down into the place of death for 3 days, was also granted life and favor on the third day. He was resurrected bodily from the grave. I'm wondering why we can't have this same confidence in our Heavenly Father as Esther has displayed here. Verse 3, then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? What's thy request? It shall be given thee even to the half of the kingdom. Shall not our bridegroom, the king, hear his own? Dressed in the white wedding garment robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Esther had to go into the presence of a proud and haughty man. We go into the presence of the Lord who is full of compassion and love. She was not called, but we are invited. She went in against the law. We have the fulfillment of the law to go to in grace and in mercy. She had no friend at court on who she could rely on. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Esther was encouraged to ask to the extent of half of the kingdom of Persia. We are encouraged to ask to the whole of heaven. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, let us therefore, because we have a high priest which can be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Esther's approach. Now notice Esther's appeal. Esther's appeal, verses 4 to 8. Now Ahasuerus has asked, what do you want, Esther? What's your request? Why have you come to me this morning? What would you have asked for? when a king, when an emperor of a world empire asked you, ask me anything you want to the half of my kingdom, what would you ask for? What is it that you ask for most in prayer? Is it for somebody else or is it for you? Verse 4, Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him, Haman. She still doesn't ask the king to reverse the edict that is going to destroy the Jews. Wouldn't that be the first thing we would have done? She doesn't even mention it. I wonder, do we intercede on behalf of those that we know have a death sentence hanging over them, that have never been born again? Do we pray? Do we intercede for them? She invites him and Haman to a banquet that she has prepared. Okay, now remember, 3 days, what she'd been doing, fasting, pray, not eating. Somewhere during that fast, she prepares a banquet. That's like sitting there on a diet watching Burger King commercials. And where the camera zooms in and you see the juices running, you know, down. Then the juices start running down your chin, you know. While fasting, she prepares a banquet. I mean, how hard must that be? Do you see what most cooks do when they're cooking? They sample. Well, let me just see if that's right. You know it's right. You just want to eat something. She sets out all that food and doesn't eat a bite. Smells it. And she prepared it by faith. She didn't know what the king was going to say to her. Another point here to observe. Do we rush into the presence of the Lord in prayer, back up the truck and dump out all the requests? Say, okay, Lord, I'm waiting. Or do we patiently wait on the Lord, sit down with him, fellowship, commune, thank him for past answered prayers, just visit with him a while? Now, I'm also sure that Mordecai is involved in these instructions of what she's doing, because I don't believe Esther would have done this just on her own. I think she would have been like us. Verse 5, then the king said, cause Haman to make haste that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. So Haman he's having the time of his life. He's been promoted to the right hand of the king. He is running the government now. He has that position. Everyone bows down to him. Well, everybody but one. So, the king's in a good mood. Now, Esther, this would be a perfect time to intercede for your people. Verse 6. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Okay, here it comes. She's going to ask this time. Verse 7, then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is, yes, yes, okay, Esther. Verse 8, if I found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleased the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said, another banquet. Now, isn't this the very opposite that we would have done? And it's because we're thinking in the flesh and not with the mind of Christ and with faith. Do you see the wisdom and patience waiting on the Lord that praying brings? I mean, why wait 40 years before going to Canaan? All right? Egypt, Canaan. Weak at the outset, walking slow. 40 years going in a roundabout way. Why not go to heaven when we're saved and avoid all this misery and heartache? Why wait 2,000 years plus for the Lord to wind this thing up? It's not how we would have done things, is it? This first banquet of wine would include cheese, grapes, fruit, you know, appetizers. We'd have coffee and donuts, cinnamon rolls, you know, really healthy food. The second banquet now would be a full course meal. Have you ever been on the end of these delays? You've earnestly prayed, and the next day, nothing happens. You made a commitment finally to the Lord, and the next day, nothing. That's why this is faith, guys. So we can do it His way, in His will, to fulfill His purpose, not ours. It's a trust in His words, not in ourselves. It's a trust in His understanding, not our understanding. It's His will, His word, His time. Okay, we move now from Esther to Haman. We saw Esther's approach and appeal. Number three, Haman's pride. Haman's pride in verses 9 to 12. Verse 9, then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. It just don't get any better than this. He's whistling as he leaves the palace headed home. He's so happy. I mean, he schemed his way into the king's good graces to where now he's at the right hand of the government. But then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. You see how fast the mood changed? One individual, one event can change happiness and joy to indignation, which means anger and frustration. You ever seen anybody just fall down on the floor with a little temper tantrum? They're banging their head against the wall. That's such a bad example for young children when you do that. Where do you think they get the idea from? But watch what the flesh can do. Verse 10. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. And when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh, his wife. He refrained himself from the anger. He, the flesh, controlled the anger. Now, if the flesh can control the anger, what can the Holy Spirit do with our anger? He held back. You grit your teeth. You smile. You be good. You be moral. You don't cuss. You're even polite, religious, and you do good things. Oh, I'm such a wonderful person. Verse 11, and Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, and moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Let me tell you about my school and college that I went to, and my degrees, and my job, and my important-sounding position, and what I've done, and what I'm doing, and what I'm going to do, and my home, and my car, and my trophy wife, my successful husband, my children, my grandchildren, their achievements. Let me show you the pictures. That's the flesh. And that's the sin of pride, functioning in and through the flesh. The result? Total delusion. Pride blinds us to the truth about ourselves and about the truth of God's word. We make decisions based on self, and then when we experience the consequences, we blame everybody else. Everybody but ourselves. Haman's pride, and lastly, Haman's plot. Haman's plot in verses 13 and 14. Verse 13, yet all this availeth me nothing. He has the world and everything the world has to offer. And he said, that avails nothing to me. As long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. None of this satisfies me and makes me happy because of Mordecai. I'd be happy if it wasn't for my boss, my supervisor, my wife, my husband, my rebellious child, my next door neighbor. The list is endless of why you can't be happy. There will always be a fly in the ointment in the flesh. But his family and his friends offer him a solution. It should be obvious. Haman, verse 14, then said Zeresh, his wife, and all of his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, 75 feet. That's high. And tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. And then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. 75 feet to where everybody can see it as a warning, kind of like a high hill outside of Jerusalem. The flesh wants to put to death the Holy Spirit and his influence on the soul. Anything spiritual, the flesh resists it. There is an exciting TV show on. You're going to read Leviticus? I mean, look at all the people on the phone that you can talk to, and you're going to pray and talk to God? You're going to go to church and sit there past 12 o'clock when the preacher just goes on and on? The plan pleased Haman, and he adopted it as his own. So Esther's preparing a banquet. Haman is preparing the gallows to put Mordecai to death. And then when that happens, he can merrily go on into this banquet. Do you recognize Haman in you? When somebody slights you, insults you, cheats you, wastes your time, overlooks you, how do you respond? How do you react? Does your blood pressure go up? Do you grind your teeth? You want to get even? That's Haman. That's the sinful nature that crucified the Savior. Haman, the flesh, is our enemy. Chapter 5 is a contrast between Esther and Haman. It opens with fasting and praying. It ends with feasting and boasting. So we leave Haman going to bed with his wicked thoughts of seeing his preventer of happiness hung the next day. Esther and Mordecai are no doubt praying. What about the king? We'll find out what he's doing next week. Don't miss our next episode. Who is sitting in the throne room of your heart? Is it the flesh or is it the Holy Spirit? First, I need to ask you, is the Holy Spirit indwelling you? Is he even there because of salvation? Has your spirit, your human spirit, been made alive that was dead? That comes first. Take care of that right now by turning away from sin, belief in the words of the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then asking for forgiveness and salvation. Next comes the reason for the salvation, spiritual growth. You grow. A child is born, they grow. They do that through the church and by the Holy Spirit working the gifts into the church and working with his word that he authored. And by so that we can serve the Lord and glorify and honor him. And by enthroning the Holy Spirit on the throne of our hearts and kicking Haman out. Esther's approach and appeal, Haman's pride and plot, the banqueting of the flesh. What do you do the most? Feast and boast or pray and fast? What we need is the same thing needed in Shushan the palace. We need a change of government. We need to take the flesh off of the heart that's leading and guiding us, and we need to replace him with the Holy Spirit and that fullness that he's given to us as salvation. Father, we thank you this morning for the plainness and simplicity of your word. Lord, may we examine ourselves in light of the light that's given us from your word. May we shine it back into the dark corners. Who do we give preeminence to? Who is it that we think about? Who is it that we work for and serve? Is it ourself or is it you? Lord, if there's a change that needs to take place in our heart, I pray we'd do that and do as Esther did, commit ourselves and purpose ourselves to do that. And Lord, if someone has never been born again, someone has never received eternal life, that gift of eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray this morning that would take place. Lord, for those that it has taken place, may we realize that you've done that for a purpose and reason. Lord, not just to give us a joy and a peace and a contentment and a fulfillment, but Lord, to give us a purpose of what we're to do on a daily basis. Magnify and glorify you, honor you, bring forth spiritual fruit by affecting other people that you've placed in our life spiritually. And Lord, we can't do that in our flesh. We can't do that in our own abilities and power. It's going to take your power, your wisdom, your strength, and a carrying out of your plan and will, not ours. Lord, may that be once and for all resolved this morning in our hearts. I ask and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed.